Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and, of course, our mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, as you all know, we will have special guests to discuss different frontier and mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. You know, folks, what we do every Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock or thereabouts, that's, of course, we have our Alaska Gold Trails contest. Today, we're going to have a contest that deals around a phone number. The phone number is 452-1751. Or, let's see, I'd like to know who these people are, where these people are, and what these people do in much, much detail. And again, their phone number is 452-1751. When you have all that information at hand, give me a call here at Alaska on Alaska Gold Trail. The number is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. And you can win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Athang Refining. And you know where they're located. Oxford Athang Refining is located at 802 Wendell Street. And did I say that number right, 802? I better check it, because I get in so much trouble for calling the street number wrong. I wish somebody would phone me and straighten me out. I think that's 208 Wendell Street. Well, anyway, so let's see if I can get their phone number right. That's 456-3967. Now, I realize that Steve Agbaba was the first person to catch me when I made that mistake of saying 802 Wendell Street for Oxford Assaying and Refining's address. However, you will want to sit out there as the listening audience and be prepared to catch me when I'm off guard, because you never know when I'll say 802 Wendell Street for Oxford's address. And if you can call me and correct me sometime, maybe it will be worth a 1 troy ounce silver ingot to you to correct me and tell me that Oxford Assaying and Refining's address is 208 Wendell Street. Did you catch all that? I can't even believe I said it. At any rate, we know that all the miners sell their gold to Oxford Assaying, and that they are well known around Fairbanks as the precious metals people. And you should also know that Oxford Assaying has a variety of gift ideas over there, including gold, silver ingots, and they also have some information regarding investments in platinum, gold, and silver. And they also have a precious metals quote line that you might like to be aware of in case you're interested in the daily prices on gold, silver, and platinum. And that quote line is 452-7858. That's 452-7858 if you'd like to have these prices. They are waiting there on the quote line for your information. Now, if you have a very special question that you would like to have answered, you can give Ray or Dee a call over there. Their number at 208 Wendell Street is 456-3967. So for in detailed information, 456-3967. And we're going to be back with you. Once again, the question is, who is located at 452-1751? What business, what sponsor, which one of Alaska Gold Trail sponsors is located at 452-1751? Once you have that information of who they are, where they are, and what they do, give us a call here at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255, and give us that information, and you can win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. And while we're waiting for that, let's listen to this.
Tannehaw, 76 below zero.
January 1989, the coldest winter on record. For 9 days, temperatures plummeted to a bone-chilling 40 below and colder.
Fairbanks, 51 below zero.
When it gets this cold, don't risk the security of your home and family. This winter, put your trust in the automatic fill service offered to you by Express Fuels. And rest assured, when you need home heating fuel, Express Fuels will be there 24 hours a day. Call Express Fuels today at 456-2424.
Hi, you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Maybe we're not on the air. Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You want to know who is at 452-1751, and that's Mount McKinley Savings Bank.
Okay.
And they also have another phone number. It's 452-4491.
452-4491.
Right. And they are located at 531 3rd Avenue. That's their front door, and their parking lot is at 534th Avenue.
And tell us, you have that down pretty good. You listened to the show before?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're a good girl. Tell me, their parking lot is on 4th Avenue, and can you give us a little information about what services they might offer?
Okay, well, they're a regular savings bank, which means they've got checking accounts, savings accounts, they handle escrows, they make loans, they make home loans.
Do you bank there?
Well, we used to have an escrow there years ago.
I see. And are you familiar with their prime time account for those folks that are over 55?
Yes, there is no charge for their checking account. They also can get, I believe they get free money orders. They can get free traveler's checks. This is without a service charge. And there's no fee for the checking account. I believe the first 200 checks are free. And let's see, the type of account they have are the kind where you use the duplicate checks, so that you keep the duplicate and then you just get a statement and you don't get your original check back.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, they only have board of directors. They don't have stockholders.
Well, you seem to have it down pretty well.
Yeah.
And why do you have all this information easily at hand? Have you done this commercial before?
Yes, I have, but I knew it anyway.
Oh, you knew it anyway.
Yeah.
You've done the commercial before.
Uh-huh.
Mount McKinley,
yes,
Mutual
did.
Savings Bank is your commercial.
I guess.
You guessed. Did you win a silver ingot before?
Yes, I did.
You did?
This is only the second time, and both times they were for Mount McKinley.
Oh, I see. You got this one wired.
I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what I think you ought to do? I don't know. It's just a suggestion, but maybe you ought to try another sponsor next time. We'll give you a silver ingot until we were... We'll give you silver ingots until we run out.
It just lucked out.
Pardon me?
It just lucked out this time,
oh, yeah?
Actually.
Do you call
it? I think I was going to hit 40 rings before you ever answered, so I didn't.
Yeah, well, sometimes people have to understand that sometimes when we're in the middle of a commercial or we're doing something here that I can't stop to answer the phone, and I always want you to continue ringing until I have the opportunity to answer.
Yeah, that's what I
so
did.
So stick with it. And a lot of times people hang up because they think, well, you know, somebody is... Somebody has already answered the question, but, you know, if there's three or four people on the line, I'll see that they get something for doing a commercial for me. So, you know, hang in there, and it'll all work out,
mm-hmm.
and everybody will be happy. Now, you know what I need is I need your name.
It's Barbara.
Barbara. Do you have a last initial, Barbara?
Yeah, it's B-A-D.
Oh, Barbara! B-A-D. Very
right.
Good. Uh-huh. And let's see. What is the date today? It's about the 10-12-89, is that right?
It's the 12th, October the 12th.
And what are you going to receive? A 1 troy ounce silver ingot, is that right?
Right.
And this is courtesy, of course, of KFAR and Oxford Assaying and Refining.
Right.
And by the way, do you know the address of Oxford Assaying and Refining?
Yes. They're at 208 Wendell Street, and they're upstairs in room number 3.
208 Wendell Street, and they're upstairs in room what?
Number three.
Number three. How do you know all that? I never knew that they were in room number three.
Well, I don't know. I just know.
Okay, Barbara. All you have to do now, stop up here at the KFAR studio. It's located in Washington Plaza. Okay, pick up the certificate. You know how to do that.
Right.
And then you just take it over to Oxford. What's the address again?
208 Wendell Street.
208.
It's a beautiful ingot.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, the one you've got.
Yes.
Is that a square, kind of a rectangular ingot?
Yes, it is.
Does it have the stars on the back?
I can't remember now what it's got on it. I was just impressed by how nice and shiny and beautifully stamped it was.
Do you think it would be nice for Christmas presents and things like that?
Oh, yes, I think they're real nice.
Uh-huh. And what about other kinds of gift-giving times, like birthdays and things? Would you like to receive one?
I certainly would.
Okay, well, maybe that's a good message for the folks out there.
Right.
Barbara, Bat, thank you for calling. Thank you for participating in the show, and call us anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. Folks, we've had our contest here, and of course, I have to
point out that
sometimes the buttons confuse me here, and I inadvertently shut off a couple of people, and I feel bad about that. We'll watch that in the future. But right now, I want to introduce our guest this afternoon. His name's Jack Williams, and Jack Williams, of course, is director of the Fairbanks Historical Preservation Foundation here in Fairbanks. He's got a lot to talk about. And, of course, you know that there's been a lot of publicity about the restoration of the Nenana at Alaska Land, and Jack's going to give us some information about that. But for the moment, Jack, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jack, give us a little background on where you were born, what year you were born, unless that's classified information, of course.
Not yet.
Not yet. Where were you born, Jack?
Brewster, New York, 1931.
Brewster, New York, 1931. Was it a city environment, town environment, country environment?
Very, very small town, actually. I left, my folks left there when I was about four, so I don't remember much about it. And from there moved to Mount Kisco, New York, which I do remember a little bit about. It's, again, a very, very small town. After that, I went to a school in Tarrytown, New York, called St. Vincent de Paul when I was about seven. And when I was nine, I moved to Maine and stayed there until I graduated high school.
And what, by the way, when you graduated from high school, did you have any, you know, when I was in high school, I remember back, we used to pull a few shenanigans once in a while. What kind of high school did you go to?
It was a boarding school, a prep school called Freiburg Academy. It's a very old school. Daniel Webster was the first headmaster.
Uh-huh.
Some of the reading of some of his books on how he disciplined the students were very, very interesting. I don't think a day went by when somebody didn't get birched.
Birched?
Birched.
I've been birched.
Yeah, so have I.
Yeah? That was fun, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I used to get birched in front of the whole class. That's the part that hurt.
Well, it didn't. Webster didn't elaborate in his journals whether or not he made a performance out of it or had an audience, but I suspect he did.
Uh huh. It's the audience that really.
That's what hurts.
Yeah. Tell me, was there any good reason for you to be birched? I mean, did you?
Not in my opinion.
Yeah. Not in your opinion.
No.
Tell me, what kind did. Was this a local town high school, or did
it
you have to come from around to go to it? You know, a lot of times we think about rural areas, and the young people come in, and they, a few years back, they would stay right in town in dormitories and go to high school.
This is that exactly. It's a very, very rural community in western Maine, very close to the New Hampshire border. And there were many little towns around there that didn't have high schools. So those town, we call them the town kids, they came to school from staying at home. And then there were a group of us that lived in the dormitories, men, boys and girls dorms.
Ah, that must have been interesting, men or boys and girls dormitories.
Well,
I can imagine all kinds of shenanigans going on.
Perhaps if they hadn't been separate dorms, but
yeah?
They were.
Let me tell you this, Jack. even in separate dorms, I'm certain that the ingenuity of young people can overcome. Tell me, did you ever have any experiences where you kind of defied the rules and regulations of dormitory living at the high school?
Well, in my senior year, we did have, well, you might call it a regular escape pipeline, where we had a system set up to get girls out of one certain window on the second floor of the dormitory. And that, of course, in the wintertime it was too cold, but in the spring and in the summer, we did, in the fall and in the spring, rather, we did that pretty successfully.
Yeah.
Until we got caught. It was about April in the springtime.
And you got birched?
No, we didn't get birched. Up there, we got put on campus. We couldn't go downtown.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
Well, that didn't bother me because the fall of my senior year, right at the day after I'd arrived for the school year, Cliff Gray, our baseball coach and English teacher and dorm proctor, told me, Williams, you're on campus till the ice comes out of the Saco. And I said, Cliff, it hasn't even frozen yet. He said, I know that. So I was already on campus. So.
I see. Well, tell us a little bit, Jack, then, about your life after graduating from high school and before coming to Alaska.
Well, I graduated in 49 and went to California, San Mateo, San Francisco Bay Area. And stayed there for a couple of years and then came to Fairbanks in 1952 to work for the summer. I really didn't like it very much when I first got here. It was very, very unlike anything I'd been used to. And when I left in the fall, it wasn't for very long. Surprisingly, I missed it. I missed it so much I came back and enrolled in the University of Alaska.
Oh, good choice.
I think so. I've never, yeah. never regretted it. Although on my way back, I did wonder what I was doing.
How long did you go to the University of Alaska, and what department did you or school did you attend?
In the School of Civil Engineering, and I attended 2.5 years there.
2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
And you were preparing
a civil engineering degree.
A civil engineering degree, and did you do, what did you do following that period of time in terms of work?
Well, through the civil engineering, which I found, by the way, I was not adaptive to, much more comfortable with arts and letters and things, history and English, but through the civil engineering, I'd learned to survey, and in 1953, I began surveying and continued that until 1960, when there was about an 8-year break, and then after that I went back to surveying and stayed with it until 1982, when I got hurt and I couldn't survey anymore.
When we come back, Jack, after a few messages, I want to talk about what you did in your surveying activities, where you went, and what kind of experiences you had there, right after these messages.
Flanagan's has a special evening waiting for you. At Flanagan's, you'll dine in the relaxed, comfortable atmosphere of one of Fairbanks' finest restaurants. Then you'll enjoy Flanagan's Cantina with live music Thursday through Saturday. Flanagan's Restaurant and Cantina is the perfect solution of where to go close to home. Tonight, treat yourself and your guests to fine dining and great entertainment. Treat yourself to Flanagan's Restaurant and Cantina in the Northgate Square. Flanagan's, the nightlife in Fairbanks.
At Seekins Ford, Lincoln Mercury, they understand that just because they're the only Ford dealer in the area doesn't mean they have to slack off. No, no. You never settle at Seekins Ford, Lincoln Mercury. You get the very best. And Ralph Seekins is on the spot to guarantee that for every one of his customers. You know, Ralph will tell you, you get the best deals right here at Seekins Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and it's absolutely true. Hey, persuade yourself. When you drop by, you tell him you're a friend of mine. He'll take great care of you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are here with Jack Williams. And Jack, we were talking about your years as the surveyor. I wanted to ask you a question. You were doing surveying. Are you familiar with Macaulay's reprographic?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Becky, Alfred. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Macaulay.
Wonderful people.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but Macaulay's reprographics is one of the sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails, and they have been for the last few months. They joined us, about 3 months ago. And what kind of interaction did you have? They lease surveying equipment and sell surveying equipment and cameras, and of course they reproduce maps and plates and things of that nature and Xeroxes of different kinds, as well as having the geological equipment. What kind of interaction did you have with them as a surveyor?
Well, during the years when I was surveying, of course I was surveying long before Macaulay's John went into business. But when they did go into business, my experience with them was continuous and very, very, very pleasant. I have nothing but the highest compliments to pay Macaulay's for the quality of their product, their instruments, their chains, all of their engineering supplies. And it's just a very friendly place to go in.
Mm-hmm. And I was in there talking to Alfred, and he opens right up to you. You got a question, he'll just lay it all out. You don't have to worry about...
Alfred's not shy.
No, he's not shy at all. He really gives you all the information you need to solve the problem.
Very humorous.
Right. I should also point out to the listening audience that not only has Macaulay's been with us as one of the sponsors of Alaska Gold Trails for several months now, they're located at 721 Gaffney, and if you have a question regarding reprographics, surveying supplies, geological supplies, and chains, hip chains, and drafting equipment, their phone number is 452-8141. Once again, that's 452-8141. Give them a call. Tell them you heard Jack and Jim talking about them here on Alaska Gold Trails. I'm sure that'll make them happy, and of course it will certainly make us happy here on Alaska Gold Trails. What kinds of activities, Jack, did you enter into when you were... Where did you go in the surveying? Did you just survey around town and plot out the city streets, or did you go out in the... What did you do here in this surveying business?
Well, whatever was called for. Spent quite a bit of time construction surveying in and around Fairbanks. And then various bush jobs, subcontracting for the Corps of Engineers, working on a lot of their Nike sites around town and White Alice sites out in the bush. Spent a lot of time on the North Slope. I was up there in 55 on the dew line for a year, and that was very interesting. Down in Amchitka, working for Chris Berg when, as a matter of fact, I was involved in the layout of the mile-deep hole that was drilled for the atomic blast down at Amchitka.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was very interesting.
I've got a little story about that. Can I
go
work
to
that
it?
In? You know, I remember when I was just a young lad back there. What year was that?
Oh, golly, when was that? 60, gee whiz, what's happening here?
60, it was in the late 60s.
68, I think, something like that, yeah.
I was just finishing up at a community college in California, junior college,
mm-hmm.
and I was emphasizing geology. And out in the paper, Dr. Bob Forbes, I'll never forget
him. Oh,
Bob.
I know Bob well, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, you bet.
He was working on that, and he was the head of the geology department at the University of Alaska at that
right.
time, and a big picture of Bob Forbes and a big article regarding his statements and the explosion at Amchitka. Surfaced, and I'll never forget what I read. He says, "We don't have to worry about a tsunami." That's what I remember from that article. But what was more impressive to me as a student is that here I'd read about this Bob Forbes guy in Alaska, and at that time, even in junior college, I had made my plans to come back to Alaska and complete my education. That was, of course, 68, like you say. And who was my first instructor in metamorphic petrology but Bob Forbes. And there I was sitting there, you know, I finally got in front of this guy who I thought was, you know, just world-class geologist, and he is.
And he is.
Oh, you bet.
And he was right. There was no tsunami.
At any rate, I just want to comment on that and tell you a little bit about one of the people that I thought was pretty well known here and worldwide. And
oh, he is.
He's well respected.
He has international credentials. There's no question about that.
Okay, go ahead with that, Jack, and drilling of that hole.
I was only there for about, I'd say 3.5 months. And they drilled a pilot hole first, and then we laid out the blast hole. And they were very, very, very specific, naturally, on the coordinates of the blast hole. And they hadn't really started drilling that when I left. And after that, I just came back to Fairbanks and went on the road from Live and Good to the Yukon River, the Taps Hall Road.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, when you said you had an accident.
Oh, this is in 82. I was lifting when I shouldn't have been, and I injured my back. Tore the muscles and ligaments away from the base of my spine, according to the doctor.
Uh-huh.
And that ended the surveying career. But while I was surveying, it was very, very interesting. And I have to say that I love the outdoors. I love being in the outdoors. And surveying is just the greatest job that you can get, because you're paid to be out in the woods. You're going across, sometimes you're going across country that has never been seen by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you were being paid to do what other people pay to do, huh?
Go out in the bush and look around. It was like a permanent or a year-round vacation, although it has its drawbacks. Sometimes it was just very, very, very cold, and the weather did interfere with us, but basically all of my memories and all my feelings about it are extremely positive. I really liked it.
I see. We're going to stop for a minute here and have a few commercials, and then we'll be right back with you, Jack, and we'll talk a little bit about some of your other activities after your surveying. And I'd like to inform the people out there that my guest today is Jack Williams, and if you have a question of Jack or would like to make a comment here on Alaska Gold Trails, simply give us a call. Our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255.
Fly high in style with a pair of Ray-Ban Ambermatic or Glacier-type sunglasses from Aviator Supply. Get a leather jacket or T-shirt, pick up a coffee mug, or a special gift for someone. Aviator Supply has instructional videos ranging from the novice to the air transport pilot, and instructional books on all King courses. You can get all this and more at Aviator Supply in Washington Plaza Mall. Never has browsing been so wonderful and actually enjoyable. Yes, browsing through Craftsman's Furniture at 160 Old Steeves can be a wonderful way to spend some time. Right now you can see those great sleeper bargains that Wayne has, like the queen size for only $4.19 or the full size for only $3.99. Wayne says that the 1990 styles are arriving daily, so go by and browse at Craftsman's Furniture on the Old Steeves next door to Burger King, or give him a call, 452-4747.
Sandy's Recycling wants you to make more money for recycling your aluminum cans. Join Sandy's Rangers. When you become a Sandy's Ranger, you get 3 cents over the posted rate for aluminum cans. Not only that, you'll be eligible to win a $50 or a $200 gift certificate from Beaver Sports every month you participate. Sandy's Rangers is a great group fundraising activity or family project. Don't trash the cash. Join Sandy's Rangers today. Call 457-2686, 457-2686.
Once again, folks, we're here with Jack Williams, and if you have a question for Jack, give us a call. Our number here is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. And if you'd like to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails or perhaps want to chat for a few minutes, just dial that number. And Jack, you were talking about your back problem. Has that healed up pretty well so that you function without problem now, or is that still painful to you?
Well, the subject is not painful, but the back is.
Uh-huh.
And it's just something that there's you learn to accept it. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of what goes on.
You have to live with it.
It's pretty tender, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you do following your surveying experience? How long were you surveying from?
Well, from 1953, Bill Mendenhall at the University of Alaska was my very first party chief. This is before he, I think we did the installation of the utilities in Arctic Park when they were first building Arctic Park down here. And this is before he met and married Nancy. From 53 to 60, and there was a break there of about 8 years, and then from 68 until 82. So, 18, about 22 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And following your accident then, by the way, you know, when you mentioned Mendenhall, it reminds me that I'd like to tell you and the listening audience that I've thought often of contacting Mr. Mendenhall and seeing if he wouldn't mind getting on the show with me here. But, you know, it's difficult sometimes to call someone up and say, would you like to be on Alaska Gold Trails with me on the radio? I have a radio show at 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. And the person never heard of it before. And they're a little reluctant to come onto the show. And so what I've done lately is I've called people, or I've had friends who have been on the show and friends who know about the show and who have listened to the show and how comfortable it is. And do you feel comfortable, Jack?
Oh, very comfortable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I want them to understand that it isn't, it's not a controversial show as much as it is Life in Alaska show. And I would like to have more of the pioneers and people who've been here for a number of years come on the show. And it's better for me if somebody will that I know will contact a person they think would be a great candidate for the show and let them know that they're going to put their name into me as a candidate. And then I can go ahead and contact them and bring it into position better. That way the person isn't brand new to them when I hit them with the concept of, would you like to be on radio with me? My goodness, that's the scariest thing in the world, they think. And when in reality, we're just having a little chat here. And the only problem is sometimes the electrical buttons get the best of me here, and I get my wires crossed.
How long have you been doing this now? Three years?
Three years.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah, another 5 or 10 years. Jack, I think I might get it down. But the once-a-week routine is probably not enough to keep me going. It seems like the first 5 or 10 minutes of every show, if it wasn't for my people who participated in the contest each week, I think that warms me up, and after that, I'm set to go.
Reorientation.
Reorientation, yeah. And a lot of times they say, I can't hear you. How come I can't hear you? And I said, because I didn't push the button. At any rate, Jack, what did you do following your accident and after you'd recuperated?
Well,
from that?
I started a small restaurant called Souvlaki, and my wife and I were working that. And then I became interested I've always been interested in Alaska land. And since 1973, when the city at that time owned Alaska land, began to rent out the small cabins for concession airspace, I immediately took one, and I've always thought it to have a great deal of potential because more as a historic theme park than anything else, which I think is very important to preserve our history.
Well, excuse me, Jack, what year was it that you rented the cabin in Alaska land?
73. And a small sandwich shop.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. My wife had a cabin in Alaska land. I don't know if it was 73? I think it was around 73.
That's when they first put them on up to be rented. That's
uh-huh.
when they first started renting them.
Yeah, she had a nice little shop there. Well decorated.
Which one was it?
I don't know. I forgot the name of it. Boy, she's going to murder me when I get home.
Oh, you're in trouble when you get in?
Yeah, I know. I'm in trouble. Actually, okay. Well, maybe she'll phone us and let us know what the name is.
Did she enjoy it out there?
Oh, yeah. She talks about it all the time. She had a great time.
It's very pleasant.
She enjoyed dealing with the tourists, and she is real capable in that area. Now, of course, she owns Alaskan Prospectors and gives her the same atmosphere that she had out at Alaska land. So, but I do recall a lot of people seeing me, and about that period of time, she was a student at the university, and they said she owns a beautiful shop at Alaska Lands, well decorated and very impressive. At any rate, we went walking through there a couple of years ago and went to all the shops, visited every shop,
mm-hmm.
and it's just beautiful out there. And
it is.
And you can sit there and reminisce. And why am I telling you this, Jack? Tell us your story.
What you're saying is interesting, and I quite agree. Moving the old buildings to Alaska Land to preserve them was a stroke of genius. I don't know who's responsible for it, but the creation of a Pioneer Heritage Park is very valuable, not only to ourselves, but as a big tourist attraction. And through my experience at Alaska Land, Bill Wally appointed me to the Alaska Land Commission. And while on the commission, I learned that there was a possibility of some historic restoration on the Harding car, President Harding's car, Denali.
That's stored at Alaska Land right now, is that right?
That is at Alaska Land right now, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another, and we formed an organization called the Fairbanks Historical Preservation Foundation, dedicated to the restoration of artifacts, not only at Alaska Land, but all over the community. Eventually, we hope. We did the restoration on the Harding car with a $43,000 grant that the city allowed us to use. It was a grant given to the city by the state for historic restoration of the Kitty Hensley House. However, the pioneers of Alaska elected to lift the Kitty Hensley House and put a new foundation under it at their own expense, and they did so, thus freeing that money for our foundation to use to restore the Harding car, which we did in 1987-88. It was rededicated to the public on Memorial Day of 1988.
The organization that you started here now is only a couple of years old then?
All of the people on the board of directors were contacted in, I'd say, March of 1987. We were incorporated as a nonprofit organization, a public nonprofit organization, in November of 87, and in January of 1988, we received our IRS classification of 501c3 nonprofit. So we are 2.5 years old. We'll be 2 years old next month, essentially legally. However, last March, we were 2 years old.
Now, tell me the role exactly, what your title is.
I'm the executive director.
The executive director.
Right.
And were the original executive director?
No, that's just recent. Originally, I was the chairman.
Uh-huh.
And
was there an executive director in the beginning?
No, there
so
was.
You were the head of it from the beginning?
From the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I've been the executive director, I think, since last March.
Recently in the newspaper, and this might be a real good contest question, we saw a picture of the Nenana.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. A watercolor by Neville Jacobs.
Neville Jacobs. She's going to be on the show with me here in a week or two.
Great.
And I think we're going to have a nice chat. The lot of interest in the Nenana and the restoration of the Nenana. I think that, 2 months ago you had... I guess it was 2 months ago you had a big gathering out there. Historical Society had a big gathering out at the Nenana.
Well, that's very interesting, Jim. That was sponsored by the Pioneers of Alaska, and that was on August the 6th. And the guests of honor were anyone that we could contact, the Pioneers could contact, who were original crew members. And we had 25 signed up in our guest book, who were original crew members, but there were more there. A couple, I guess, didn't see the book or didn't want to sign it or whatever. But the gathering was a tremendous success. Mike Dalton is primarily responsible for putting that together.
Is that right? And Mike's been on the show.
Well, Mike is very effective.
give us a little background on the Nenana. What did it do? Where did it travel? And
well, the Nenana, it just traveled down the Tanana, Nenana, and Yukon rivers. It was prefabricated in Seattle in 1931 and brought to Nenana and constructed by Berg Construction Company, who later, that company later became Chris Berg. And she was constructed in, well, the construction was begun in May of 1932, I'm sorry, June of 1932, and completed, she was launched in May of 1933. And she's been on the river ever since. She was one of the largest river boats in Alaska. She's 210 feet in length with a 237-foot overall length. She carries a cargo of 300 tons, and she could push two barges, each carrying 300 tons, so she had a tremendous amount of power, with condensing steam engines that generated 600 horsepower, two of them. Her cargo, she carried everything. She was just a vitally important link to the river communities. Lumber, fresh vegetables from Nenana, mining equipment, grain, dried salmon, including the smell.
Yeah.
And coal, gold, other precious ores, horses, dog teams, milk, passengers. She had a capacity for 58 passengers, but was authorized for only 16. Only authorized to carry 16. And her history, although brief, she played a very important role.
How long was it again?
Jack? She was retired in 1953.
53. Did they then just, when did they put the Nenana in Alaska land?
Well, it was first retired in 53, leased for a year, I think, by Utana Barge Lines. I'm not really positive about this, and I don't think that was, they made a go of that with it, but it was leased by someone. And then in 1958, it was brought up the river, purchased by Greater Fairbanks Opportunities Company, I believe. Dutch Durr and a few of the old-timers were involved in that, the Chamber of Commerce. And that didn't work out. She was then passed on to the city, and she stayed at the foot of Lathrop Street from 1958 until 1965, when she was moved into Alaska land. And a big trench was dug, and she was floated in and stayed there in one place until 1985, when she was moved to her present location, which is on a concrete grid, which is what she needs for the support underneath her hull.
Mm-hmm. By the way, have the Nenana's had quite a history. Are you familiar with these following words? Nenana, the last lady of the river?
Oh.
Are you? How about a premiere? Let me tell the people out there, our listening audience, what we're about to do.
Yes, do
Jim that. Bell wrote a song about the Nenana. Nenana, the last lady of the river. It's premiering on Alaska Gold Trails today. I hope you have your tape recorders ready to go, because you're about to hear this new song by Jim Bell, and you've heard it for the first time on public radio right here on KFAR and Alaska Gold Trails.
Last lady of the river. just to generate the power that it takes to turn the wheel to go up and down the river with the flood.